experience.
A private company operated by the co-owner of PayPal is set to conduct its first rocket launch today near Florida's Kennedy Space Center. Space Exploration Technologies will launch a 180-foot-high Falcon 9 test rocket. NASA plans to use the vehicle to transport cargo and possibly astronauts to the International Space Station. For more news and analysis, log on to IRNUSANews.com.
The Brush Housing Authority in Brush reminds listeners to spend more time with an elderly member of our community. What better way to show you care than to remember a family member, friend, or neighbor? Checking on their welfare, making a phone call, or a simple visit can make all the difference in the quality of their life. This message was courtesy of the folks who care at Brush Housing Authority, who say our area is a great place to live, work, and raise our families, and they're doing their part to keep it that way. That's the Brush Housing Authority. For more information on programs, call 970-482-5046. 970-482-5046.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Your family deserves wholesome organic food, and you shouldn't have to drive across town or spend all of your hard-earned cash to get it. Door to Door Organics brings you fresh organic fruits, vegetables, and groceries delivered straight to your door at a price you can afford. It's simple, convenient, affordable, and healthy. For delivery throughout Colorado, Michigan, the East Coast, and Kansas City, go to DoorToDoorOrganics.com. For $5 off your first order, use the coupon code 1360. That's DoorToDoorOrganics.com. Eat better, shop less.
Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
Well, good morning, Dr. Stan, here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning is Joel Skousen, and from World Affairs Brief. Good morning, Joel. Did you get out from under all the cement?
Just barely, by 8 o'clock in the night, so it was a tough go yesterday.
Joel was supposed to do our program yesterday and called me just a few minutes before we had to go on the air, telling me he was up to his arms in cement. The cement truck came late, and I know how that is, because, boy, when the cement truck's there and they're pouring the cement, you got to be there right on top of it. You can't wait until after the radio program. Anyway, good to have you with us this morning, and what are we going to be talking about?
Well, we're going to talk about the major firestorm of protest against Israel's enforcing of the Gaza blockade. A Turkish-American citizen was among the 9 dead and dozens of wounded resulting from Israel's use of armed force to enforce its blockade of Gaza. 5 of the 6 ships in the flotilla carrying humanitarian aid and acquiesced to Israeli demands to board while in international waters, but Turkish activists on the 6th ship, the Mapi Marmara, chose to resist by attacking Israeli commandos who responded with lethal gunfire. One of the activists, Furkan Dogan from the USA, had 4 bullet wounds in the head and 1 to the chest, leading to the charges of disproportionate force by Israeli forces. And while the true facts are still being sorted out, one thing is for sure: Israel deliberately made a high-level decision to use lethal force against these blockade-busting ships while still in international waters, which is only technically under international law when such ships present an armed military threat or physical danger, which was not the case, notwithstanding the use of a few makeshift weapons of opportunity from some of the passengers. But this week, in my World Affairs Brief, I'm going to attempt to answer why Israel would risk making itself the pariah of the world at a time when it's actively planning on attacking Iran and looking for sympathetic understanding and justification in the world.
Well, I think that is the $64,000 question, and I want to know the answer to it, because nothing going on makes much sense today, so there's got to be an explanation. Go right ahead.
Well, first, a little background on the actual conflict here with the blockade. It appears that major portions of both the Israeli version of events and the blockade runners is true. Israeli soldiers were attacked with clubs and a few knives on one ship by militants and 10 on deadly resistance. And, two, the Israeli commandos thereafter began shooting to kill rather than merely disarming the resistors. Anyone taking pictures, including journalists, had their cameras confiscated by Israeli forces. This is a common tactic now used by overly aggressive police forces around the world, but which hardly helps Israel maintain a reputation of honesty and openness about how things really went down. The footage that did make it through the censorship, or what Israel has posted on YouTube to bolster its version, does show some active but rudimentary resistance on the part of some of the Mabi Marmara militants that were on board. But it also does show some pretty indiscriminate shooting by the commandos. Perhaps the low point in Israel's campaign to discredit the mostly peaceful activists who constitute the growing lobby against the occupation of Gaza was Israel's posting on YouTube of the post-attack inspection results of the ship forced into the Israeli port of Ashdod. The Israeli government collected everything that could be considered a weapon from the ships, including heavy hammers and tools from the engine room and knives from the kitchen, to demonstrate bad intent on the part of the demonstrators. This is quite unfair, as multiple onboard witnesses have testified. Only a small group of militants was armed, and they were, not with shooting-type weapons. This was quite unfair, as... But there were some odd finds, like a whole stack of lethal-grade slingshots with multiple smooth stones for projectiles stashed in bottles. However, no witnesses report that any of these were used by the resistors, so no doubt they were being smuggled by militants into Gaza to arm Palestinian demonstrators as they go up against Israeli troops.
But obviously, this whole thing was planned on both sides to create an incident. I mean, the Israelis had to know there'd be an incident, and the demonstrators were there intentionally to provoke violence. So this whole thing was planned by both sides.
That's right. Whether or not there was coordination is doubtful at this time, but clearly the demonstrators have intended to run the blockade. There's a very interesting procedure. And it brings up this important point about even the slingshots being, smuggled aboard. Most of the ships, by the way, had been inspected by Turkish authorities or other authorities and certified that there were no lethal weapons aboard. They didn't obviously find the slingshots, but which are, only semi-lethal. Which brings up an important point, though. Gaza is an armed camp waging war with Israel and regularly smuggles in arms and explosives and rocket parts, which Israel has been trying to shut down for years. Israel does have the right to enforce a blockade that has been doing so for several years. It's a simple procedure similar to any customs entry point. The importer of aid or material parks their ship at an Israeli port. The Israelis offload the cargo, inspect it, and send it on as aid to Gaza. They did that with the cargo of the Mabi Marmara, but the Gaza authorities refused as a matter of principle to accept it because, they're interested in breaking the blockade, not making it appear as if it works. In real life, lots of injustices are happening with Israeli screening of all the aid. Palestinian organizations regularly complain that a lot of building supplies necessary to rebuild after the most recent Israeli attacks on Gaza City have not been allowed through Israeli inspection. They're hardly considered weapons. Now, the flotilla ships was clearly attempting to run the blockade and did expect Israel to use some force to stop it. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu later vowed that additional Gaza-bound ships intend on breaking the blockade, such as the Irish ship Rachel Corrie, will not succeed, not now or in the future. So Israel is basically making a very tough stand. On one level, that means he won't allow them into Gaza without going through Israel first, who inspects and retransfers the cargo. But on another level, Netanyahu is allowing the threat of lethal force to sink in and deter anyone else from trying. However, few believe that Israel can get away with any additional displays of disproportionate and lethal force without strong international condemnation, outrage, and sanctions. Talk is high in international circles of applying the same kind of crippling economic sanctions on Israel, which brought down the South African apartheid.
We'll be back here in just a moment at the American Freedom Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
The people who are controlling the government of America are the same people who are trying to control your family's health care. You can sit quietly by and accept their plan, or you can take responsibility for your health. What would happen if you could no longer obtain the medications you're now taking? Would you be forced to join the ranks of corrupt agents just to purchase the medicine? If you're one of the thousands of concerned citizens who would like to know more about a natural way, God's way to help, drop by the Green Herb for a natural solution and all the information you need to make an intelligent decision. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling. Or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. And be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
11 years ago, when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon. We were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I own tech stocks certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled, jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their heads. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President for the Patriot Trading Group, and as gold and silver have doubled and even tripled during the first 11 years, the issues facing this country over the next 11 years look far worse. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. We offer all forms of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, shipped and delivered at the most competitive prices in the country. Call us, 800-951-0592, or check out our website at allamericangold.com. And remember, you don't need to have tinfoil to own gold and silver.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Joel Skousen. So, Joel, you pick up the story.
Okay. Well, we're talking about what's happening in the latest conflict with Israel and the rest of the world. And I'm going to give some background now on trying to lead to a resolution of why the Israelis would, do this kind of, make themselves essentially the pariah of the world by using such extreme force in handling these blockade-busting ships. You know, it's very interesting that in Israeli history, we have the example of the Exodus, the movie that was made out of the attempts to run the blockade that the British were running on Palestine to keep the Jews from importing people into after post-World War. And isn't it ironic that Israel's finding itself running the same type of blockade against people trying to get into to Gaza under similar circumstances? As my long-term readers of the World Affairs Brief know, I am sympathetic to Israel's need and right to its original God-given land grant in the Bible and to its prophesied restoration to that land, the original biblical concept of Zionism. True religious Zionism, however, does not seek to displace the Palestinian Arabs from their historic lands, but rather seeks to form a government where the mutual rights of all are respected. Granted, this is not an easy task given the historical hatred and mistrust that has existed between these two people for generations, if not centuries. Neither can that be done under the preferred socialistic and redistributive systems employed both in Israel and in Palestine, as socialism pits everyone against one another with its massive incentive to get their fair share of the productive pie, that is, other people's labor. You know, in any of these countries like Bosnia or Israel, where you have conflicting ethnic groups occupying the same territory and you have a socialist government, it does make a difference of who's in power because they tend to favor and give a disproportionate share of redistribution, you know, to their own people. So it gets, there's a natural recipe for conflict when you don't have a true free market whereby no one gets any preference to anyone else's productive results of their labor. Now, this is complicated even more by the natural disparity between the highly innovative economic systems in Israel, which produces most of the high-paying jobs in the region, and the almost total welfare state that the Palestinians live under. And, of course, the international community is much responsible for that, for, you know, the, putting them on the dole over these decades and continue to do so. A lot of that money was siphoned off by Arab leaders as well, like Yasser Arafat. Even during past times of relative peace, before the Intifada, or that means uprising in the year 2000, most Palestinians worked in Israel each day quite safely, and yet few Israelis could work in Palestine with any degree of safety. However, one really can't understand the dynamics of the current conflict without understanding that the evil forces on both sides that are trying to actually foment conflict rather than seek peace, clearly there have been terrorists on the Palestinian side which want to see all Jews expelled or killed in the region. But part of this rationale has been motivated by past Israeli aggression against Arabs since the original partition of Palestine, which the Arabs refused to accept. Many Arabs were forcibly dispossessed of the land and houses improperly. On the other hand, that hatred of Israel has been continually and improperly fostered and taught in all the rising generation by Arab educators and leaders, which continues to breed more suicide bombers each year. And there have been also no less than three major wars since the War of 1948, where the Arab nations attacked Israel, or at least were planning to attack and received a preemptive strike in return, and were beaten back by Israeli superior tactics. Those attacks by Arabs and subsequent losses are the basis for both Israel's occupation of the conquered lands and one-sided refusal of the international community to accept the norms of war, that when one nation is guilty of a war of aggression, they don't automatically have a right to maintain their sovereign independence after they've been defeated. But they keep wanting to, of course, make it as if the Arabs have the right to all of their land back when they have aggressed no less than four times against Israel itself. But the real complication, as you know, Stan, arises when you consider how the Israeli government itself has aided and embedded its own terrorist enemies, indicating, as in the U.S., a propensity to foment conflict rather than peace. I have documented in the World Affairs Brief in the past how Israel set up secret Swiss bank accounts for its archenemy, Yasser Arafat, and how the U.S. was complicit in saving Arafat from destruction on multiple occasions. In its simplest form, this is because Israel, like the U.S., is governed by forces that aren't really working for its own national interest, but ones of global hegemony. And these political forces control parties on both the left and the right and play the people for fools by regularly using puppet leaders to pretend to be serving and protecting their interests, while ultimately compromising and betraying those interests. In Israel, for example, the first major play by globalist leaders in Israel was to implement the disastrous secret Oslo Accords, which allowed so many arms and lethal explosives to enter into Gaza, courtesy of Western allies of Israel. All this in the name of promoting peace. Well, the perfidy of modern Israeli leaders after Menachem Begin, who I consider the last of the true non-globalist prime ministers in Israel, has not gone unnoticed in the world of the alternate news, though the mainstream will never admit the globalist connection of either U.S. or Israeli leaders. Thus, a large contingent of writers on both the right and the left in the U.S. have taken up a decidedly anti-Zionist cry against the increasing hostilities and aggressive military actions of successive Israeli governments, abetted, of course, by globalist U.S. administrations. The most egregious and recent example was Israel's decision in the latest Lebanon war against Hezbollah to target civilian infrastructure rather than just military targets, something the Israeli military historically has avoided. Prominent Jews like Henry Kissinger have also played a huge role in the fomenting of conflicts around the world on behalf of his globalist masters. There's no shortage of smart Jews willing to work for and even lead portions of the financial and globalist establishment, which works against liberty while enriching themselves in the globalist network. But this has nothing to do with Jews doing this because of their Jewishness. That's my point. The resulting anti-Zionist and in large extent anti-Semitic fever that has risen among a portion of the American right and the left is misplaced and overly broad, leading to a new form of anti-Semitism. Now, let me try and explain more correctly how to view the problem of the Jews that do work against Israel and form part of the globalist conspiracy. They are not truly representative of legitimate religious Zionism. There exists today, and predominates, in fact, a hijacked political form of Zionism, which is used by the far left and powerful globalists to divert and suborn the allegiance of pro-Israel Jews and Christians alike, turning them into neocon cheerleaders for globalist intervention. And I'm opposed to this political form of Zionism, which I choose to identify more with what I call radical globalism, whose Anglo-American leaders, many of which are highly placed Jews, call the shots in Israel as well as in America. So you can see, Sam, this is more complex than just looking at this from the aspect. We're talking about provocations here, just as the U.S. has provoked much of the hatred against us by its policies, you know, claiming that Muslims hate our freedoms. They don't hate our freedoms at all. They hate our policies. And, political Zionist globalist leaders are all anti-religious. They hate their own religious background, those Jewish ones among them, and despise God even though they attend some form of synagogue or play lip service to superficial forms of kosher Jewish culture. But they do not do so because of any love of the religious heritage of the Jewish people. It's all just a ruse to play upon pro-Israel sympathies in both the Jewish and Christian cultures. That's why I don't use the term Zionist, because it lumps all the worst of the political Zionists and the few true religious Zionists that don't deserve to be maligned by a broader epithet. Too many use this catch-all pejorative of Zionism when they really should be using the term globalist, which is the current vehicle the powers that be use to promote globalist control and tyranny among nations. Well, this introduction has much to do with the current crisis because, like the USA, all of Israel's dominant political parties are controlled by international globalism, both the Likud on the right and the Labor Party on the left. Kadima in the so-called center was a pure creation of the globalists when the Likud could no longer stomach the compromising direction of Ariel Sharon, who was a globalist pretending to be a right-wing Likud leader. And he formed another party called Kadima to split the Likud apart. Even some of the smaller parties on Israel's religious right are controlled by compromises they seek and accede to in order to garner public funding for their religious schools. A lot of corruption in Israel, just as there are in the United States with the political process. Benjamin Netanyahu, the current prime minister and leader of the right-wing Likud party, is particularly dangerous because he's a Kissinger protege. And only playing as if he's defending Israel's right-wing interests. His true allegiance is elsewhere. In fact, Netanyahu is working on the globalist agenda, which, as documented by various insiders mentioned recently in my World Affairs brief, is attacking Iran for globalist purposes. And while Israel First supporters would welcome such an attack, thinking that Netanyahu is doing it for Israel's sake, they will be disappointed to find out that the real purpose in attacking Iran is to set the stage for a larger world war, out of which will emerge a new world order where no nation has true sovereign rights. Now, it's my suspicion that the only reason why Netanyahu would have authorized using military force on these blockade-running ships in international water is because the intent was to antagonize world opinion. Now, while this may seem counterintuitive to people used to thinking that leaders won't do things against their own national interest, it happens all the time because of pressure to do the bidding of globalist powers who control most of the political, financial, military powers in the world. What could Israeli leaders possibly have to gain by all this international outrage? This is only a theory at this point, Stan, but I feel it might possibly be this. Israel and the U.S. have long been preparing to attack Iran. But they would like Iran to provide some rationale for the attack so that it doesn't appear to be unilateral and unjustified. So Iran has not fallen into any of the traps being set to make war appear justified. The powers that be, I think, are hoping that increased sanction pressure would force Iran to retaliate in some other way, you know, against Israel or the Americans in Iraq, and they have not done so. So it appears to me that Israel is, in fact, fomenting an outrageous attack on what appears to be an unarmed convoy of humanitarian aid. And what has been the predictable result? Nations like Turkey, for example, who has been active in working with the United States and Israel for U.S. goals in the Far East, especially Iraq and Afghanistan, has now been forced to turn against Israel. In fact, is considering sending armed ships to guard any potential blockade runners. Now, this potentially puts Israel into a armed confrontation, naval confrontation, with armed Turkish ships. I think what they're doing is fishing for a conflict that will justify attacking Iran, provoking something that the Arabs will, in fact, I think, attack or make it appear as if they're attacking Israel in defense of these future blockade runners, which will somehow finagle or allow Israel to seem as if they're justifying attacking Iran for promoting this. It may have to do with Lebanon and Hezbollah. They've been continuing the propaganda about Iran putting more Scud missiles into Lebanon. That's the only thing that I can figure out, Stan, that they're looking for, in fact, more conflict with the international community, particularly to provoke something from the Arab side out of the horrors of retaliation of what's happened to this flotilla.
Well, there, I think you're very close to the truth there. I do believe Israel is going to attack Iran. I believe that Iran then will retaliate. And then I believe that we will retaliate, saying, well, we told Israel not to do it, but we have no alternative but to go to war. We'll be back in a moment.
Zabel Construction is a family-owned and operated business. They're able to handle the big jobs and the small ones, from additions and remodels to decks and drywall. Over 45 years of combined experience, they're reliable and trustworthy. For a free estimate, email them at zabelconstruction@hotmail.com. That's Z-A-B-E-L construction@hotmail.com, or call Mark at 303-579-5325. Licensed and insured, Zabel Construction.
Wild Bird Center at 1685 South Colorado Boulevard in Denver says, please practice safe driving at all times. It could save your life or someone you know. Don't be responsible for an accident, no matter how small. That's from Wild Bird Center, where Candace Stewart and her staff are always working to make our area a safer place for our youth. For the highest quality products and friendly service committed to education and conservation, call today at 758-7575. That's Wild Bird Center at 1685 South Colorado Boulevard in Denver. Call 758-7575 and mention you heard this community announcement. They wish you all a happy Memorial Day. Tax problems, IRS notices, credit card debt? Get professional help from local attorney Chelsea Victor at 303-702-0591. The Law Office of Chelsea Victor provides affordable, compassionate, and professional representation. Call today for a free initial consultation. The Law Office of Chelsea Victor, redefining legal representation one client at a time. That's 303-702-0591, 303-702-0591.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at the Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of the Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by the Green Herb located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's the Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city. And be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here, our guest this morning, Joel Skiles. And Joel, before we go on, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get a trial copy of the World Affairs Brief and perhaps go ahead and subscribe.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. The World Affairs Brief does have a modest subscription price to support my work, try to put back into the news that which the media purposely doesn't talk about, things that we're talking about today. And people can get a free sample issue by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. And there's lots of free things on the website as well. We do post the best of the top conventional stories each day. There is some good analysis that comes out of the conventional and even alternative news, which has to be screened, frankly. You know, not everything is correct that comes out of alternative news sources. So you get the best when you go to World Affairs Brief, and then I add my analysis at the end of each week in the World Affairs Brief.
And I recommend it very much to the to our listeners. Well, I don't think that the average American wants to go to war in the Middle East, wants to expand the war. After all, I believe that Obama was elected because he promised he would pull the troops out, and, well, he's going to get around to it. Maybe by the end of August we'll start pulling some of the troops out of there, but it may very well be by the end of August we're going to be at war in the Middle East, and, oh, shucks, we're just not going to be able to do that, and maybe those troops are just sitting ducks there to be used as an excuse to get into this war if some of them are injured. Because there are many, many people who believe that this war is coming, certainly in the end of July, the 1st of August. I don't know when it's coming, have no idea, but everything points to the fact that we're moving new carrier groups into the Persian Gulf. Remember that Obama pulled them all out, and now he's beginning to bring our carrier task force back into the Arabian Sea and the Persian Gulf. And why would they be doing that unless they were anticipating a war? But we cannot tell the American people because they don't want to go to war. War would certainly have a serious impact on the economy of Europe, and I fear that it would have an impact on our economy as well. So you pick up the story.
Well, it certainly would have an impact, and, of course, war would be even more unpopular if the government didn't finance it by deficit spending or printing money, but simply tax the American people. That'd be the quickest way, you know, to stop the war, because people would then rebel against those kinds of tax payments. They would rebel against foreign aid and all the other types of indiscriminate spending by our government if we had to pay for it. That's one of the reasons why they use this mechanism and why deficit spending will never stop. But you're absolutely right about the military buildup in the Middle East. Not only three carriers, which the U.S. had at the in 2007 when they were planning on attacking Iran the first time, they changed their mind because there was a distinct anti-war sentiment, an election year, and even on the Republican side they had Ron Paul preaching against the war, and had they attacked Iran, it would have accrued to the benefit of Ron Paul and the anti-war feeling within the United States, even among conservatives. And so they engineered the National Intelligence Estimate to claim that Iran wasn't, in fact, trying to pursue nuclear weapons so that they could take down or save face in backing down from the threat of war. But now it's all back on the line. The National Intelligence Estimate has basically said, oh, yes, they started production again, and they're trying to establish a nuclear weapon, which I, by the way, think is true. I think Iran wants to become a nuclear power because Israel is nuclear armed, and they feel rightly so that the government, that the globalists are targeting them for destruction. And so this is the response, essentially, to try to combat a world globalist movement that is intent on taking down nations like Iran. And it's not just control of oil. You know, it is a portion of the methodology of the globalists, but it has much to do with the future coming of war when they want to deny Russia and China the use of that oil, which will be the major antagonist. While they probably won't be able to get the oil to the United States itself, that's one of the reasons why I think the environmentalist movement, financed by the big oil corporations and the U.S. government, is sabotaging any efforts to use up American oil. I think they're preserving American oil for the time when they will have their own world conflict, not to save it for American purposes, but for international global attack purposes. So all of this that's leading up to the war in Iran is part of this scenario, and I think Netanyahu is very much a globalist and part of it. He's a Kissinger protege, as I said. He's not a true person on the right wing. He's playing a role just like Ariel Sharon has done. Now, he compromised significantly when he was prime minister the first time in the 1990s and betrayed the right-wing settler movement, and I think he will do so again, though. In order to be believable, you know, and a lot of my Jewish subscribers and others have a hard time believing that Netanyahu is not one of them because he's doing such a hard line, taking such a hard line in the traditional right-wing pro-settlement arena. But he did that last time, and he eventually compromised. And I think we'll see from this latest problem that this is going to lead to more conflict, and that's probably what they want. In the meantime, it is complementing the United States' attempt to get additional sanctions on Iran. The U.S. has been reluctant to accede to international demands that we ought to put sanctions on Israel for this attack on the international aid flotilla. Really, you know, is a flotilla of blockade busting ships. There is a procedure for getting aid into Gaza, which you know, is peaceful, in which they clearly are not interested in doing because they want to stop the blockade. Every time there's not been a blockade on Palestine, or when there's been leakage through the Egyptian side of the border with Gaza through the tunnel system, and you get hundreds of rockets and explosives being shipped in there. So Israel clearly has a right to blockade and inspect in its own interest of national preparation. But it really is complicating the U.S. ability to not appear hypocritical when they go before the U.N. Council opposing sanctions for Israel and yet wanting more sanctions on Iran at this time. You know, the U.S. has labored for months to gain Russian and Chinese backing for a resolution in it that would restrict Iranian arms imports, authorize inspection of Iranian cargo ships, and make it harder for Iranian banks to open branches abroad. And a big sanction, of course, is they want to make sure that all gasoline shipments stop to Iran. This is exactly how they goaded Japan into attacking Pearl Harbor, by stopping all oil shipments coming through British Malaysia to Japan, which was the defining restriction which finally got Japan to decide we have no choice but to attack the United States, and that's what they did. But that's was part of the six-point Roosevelt plan to provoke U.S. entrance into World War II.
Well, I certainly agree, and I think it's just a matter of time, and the American people certainly, as I said earlier, do not want to go to war. They don't want to expand the war, but the people who control our government have an entirely different agenda. So go right ahead.
Well, we have talked a fair amount of this interview about this globalist conspiracy. There is another conspiracy leak that has come about.
Hold that thought. We'll get to that one in just a moment here.
Community Connections is proud to announce their 2010 Summer Baseball Camp, June 28th through July the 2nd, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Sandstone Park, 3001 East Highway 119, Longmont. Ages 5 through 14 years old, boys and girls both welcome. For pre-registration or information, call 303-702-0588. Ask for Israel Victor, Camp Director. That's 303-702-0588. Community Connections 2010 Summer Baseball Camp. For the finest in home security, you want Fine Line Security, a family-owned business. They install, service, and repair any CCTV system, including DVRs. Free estimates are available. Free security evaluations, including existing systems, emergency repairs, and loaner equipment. Call Scott at 303-550-8202. They also have lease options available for CCTV security. Always professional, neat, and excellent workmanship. Home automation wireless solution for doors and driveways also available. 303-550-8202. Fine Line Security.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival. Zabel Construction is a family-owned and operated business. They're able to handle the big jobs and the small ones, from additions and remodels to decks and drywall. Over 45 years of combined experience, they're reliable and trustworthy. For a free estimate, email them at zabelconstruction@hotmail.com. That's Z-A-B-E-L construction@hotmail.com, or call Mark at 303-579-5325. Licensed and insured, Zabel Construction.
Dan back here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Joel Skousen. Last segment of our program this morning. Go right ahead, Joel. Joel?
Yes, Dan. I couldn't hear you over the music, bumper music that was in there.
Well, you go right ahead.
Oh, okay. We're talking about additional evidence of conspiracy coming out. We talked a couple of weeks ago in the World Affairs Brief about the dramatic conversation overheard by a high member of the City of London as he was invited into a meeting with normal colleagues that he had been working with for years, high finance people in the City of London, and all of a sudden there were three new people there, and they started discussing war with Iran. Now, the powers that be were unhappy with that Israel hadn't been able to pull off a preemptive strike on Iran to start this war yet. And they were just shocked to realize that here they'd come in assuming that everyone had been vetted in the meeting, were talking casually among one another about things that they obviously knew much more about, and he was sitting there just drinking it all and saying, boy, I mean, this is just incredible. This isn't a presentation by someone saying, this is what we're going to do. This was just a casual conversation about what they all knew and he didn't know. And they just assumed because he'd been in the same meetings that he was one of them and he wasn't. So it's these types of things that eventually leak out and we get a glimpse into conspiracy and how powerful they are in the world. Another one has just come out. There was a researcher, Pavel Stroilov, and working through the Russian archives, and he was able to somehow figure out the password for a group of protected files, which are Gorbachev's personal writings about all the things that led up to the perestroika and the fall of the Soviet Union. And that's now started to be published. And I haven't yet been able to go through it, but apparently what he says is that it confirms what my long-held suspicion that the fall of the Soviet Union was a carefully crafted deception. But in fact, it didn't fall because of economic necessity. They took it down. The communist leadership went underground and became, and then Gorbachev was essentially, working with the West to, make sure that all this aid and restructuring got help from the West, and this is part of the communist plot to, in essence, regroup and get strengthen again before they can strike at some future time. There was also another interesting article that came out by Eric Peters. When I was in Washington, D.C. in the mid-'80s, the Washington Times came out of nowhere. We now know that it was from funding from the Reverend Moon of South Korea, who ended up having most of his funding by CIA grants and other ways. This was a way in which the dark side of government, in essence, controls the right as well as the left. Here you had a major paper dominating the Washington scene, which was either the Washington Post or the New York Times. And then comes on the scene the Washington Times. And it seemed to me when I was there that it's too good to be true, because nobody in our side generally has enough money to start a paper like this with all the staff. And it was losing millions of dollars a year. And somehow there was a magic flow of money coming from this Reverend Moon. When we did some investigation, Moon's claimed that the revenue came from selling of trinkets in Japan, but this wasn't true. It just simply didn't account for all of the revenue that was going coming. But Reverend Moon had quite an effect within the conservative establishment in Washington. He was bankrolling a lot of people and eventually trying to get influence. And that influence ended up being, especially at the Washington Times, pro-Bush neocon type of influence. Originally, when Arnold Dvorsky and others were editor of the Washington Times, they assured me that they had complete editorial independence, and they did things critical of both Republican but mostly Democratic administrations. But when Wes Pruden got in, it took a decidedly pro-Republican, pro-Bush turn and became very much a neocon publication, publishing all of the things from Doug Faith and other neocons, and starting to push out people like Pat Buchanan and Paul Craig Roberts. Paul Craig Roberts wrote that he was dropping his column on March 24th of this year. Essentially, he's saying, you know, I'm kind of giving up the powers that be, really have everything under control, and the battle is over. And Eric Peters, a former editorial editor of Washington Times, documents for us in a piece since he left several years ago, but he documents the entire change. In other words, people at the Washington Times knew that this was happening. They never spoke out at the time because obviously they couldn't, or they felt that the job would be on the line. Now we're getting the full inside story of how they've eventually purged the independent thinkers and the libertarians out of the Washington Times and installed almost all exclusively pro-Bush type of people like Wes Pruden and Tony Blankley and others who continue to push this this globalist intervention agenda. So I find that occasionally, Dr. Stan, we get information that we have longed to see, that we suspect, and it finally comes through over time.
Well, unfortunately, I think the American people have to understand that the powers that be control both the conservative and the liberal side. They've infiltrated most of our organizations, and certainly they have their disinformation on the Internet. It's very hard to get accurate information, and that's why we so much enjoy having you on our program and why we try to get people who are not certainly under their control, although at times we'll get people onto our program who I really feel have compromised themselves and certainly are actually actively engaged in attacking people on the conservative side who are trying to get the truth out, which is unconscionable.
Well, that's right. And there are even unwitting people, honest people on our side, that like Lindsay Williams, for example, who ended up with some very good information about the American ability or the American government's decision to shut down oil production within the Gulf and hide the massive deposits were there. And yet he has become kind of a go-to person for an insider source. And I'm starting to doubt this much information he's provided.
Hold that thought. Well, we're all out of time. God bless. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
11 years ago, when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon. We were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I own tech stocks certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled, jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their heads. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President for the Patriot Trading Group, and as gold and silver have doubled and even tripled during the first 11 years, the issues facing this country over the next 11 years look far worse. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. We offer all forms of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, shipped and delivered at the most competitive prices in the country. Call us, 800-951-0592, or check out our website at allamericangold.com. And remember, you don't need to have tinfoil to own gold and silver.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and, well, I hope you enjoy our program, and I hope you are prepared for the very difficult times that lie ahead financially and psychologically, and I really tremble for my country when I reflect that God, if God is just, he's going to bring terrible retribution on this nation for what we've done, and perhaps this coming war with Iran will be one of the precipitating causes. Under any circumstances, we need to at least let you know what's going on, even if the average individual out there has no knowledge. There is a world conspiracy. It works with the Bilderbergers, the Trilateral Commission, and the Council on Foreign Relations, but behind that are powerful spiritual forces. There is a timetable. They're following the timetable, and it appears that this is, of course, but the time has come to expand the war in the Middle East. How soon it will occur? Well, some people say a few weeks, some people say a few months, some people say a few years, and I will say I don't know. But I think I bring you the various speakers, and you're going to have to watch and wait and see, as I will. There's nothing we can do to prevent this from happening other than to put out the warning. They're coming, and they're going to be difficult times. Now, let me remind you, we are having an all-day conference on the 17th of October. We usually have a contingent of people who come from Colorado, and we're going to have some excellent speakers. Sheriff Mack will be there. We're going to have Paul Williams, who will explain to you about the Muslim terrorist training camps here in the United States, funded and certainly with the full knowledge of our Central Intelligence Agency and the FBI, but the information is being concealed from the American people. Why would you allow Muslim training camps where these people are being allowed to train with automatic weapons here in the United States? Well, because they want chaos to come to our streets, and I fear it is coming. Be prepared for it. And then, of course, we have a great new, I should mention, we're going to have Dr. David Ayoub there. I'll be speaking. Michael Shaw will be speaking. Great conference. You can call our 800 number, 544-8927. 544-8927, October 17th. Make your room reservations. Get information. Make your reservations to come. We're hoping to get a real good turnout. We actually had to turn people away last year because they made their reservations too late, and we had over 185 people. Hopefully we'll do that well again this year. Then suddenly we have a new DVD. It's called The specter haunting America, and it goes into the background of how they're poisoning our children, how they're poisoning our adults, and you must understand they know what they're doing. We are under attack today, and of course they're doing everything they can to feminize our people, certainly the bisphenols in every tin can. Feminizes the individuals with feminine hormones. They want a compliant society. And the fact that you're not hearing about this on 60 Minutes, the product is Bisphenol, B-I-S-P-H-E-N-O-L. Go to the Internet, find out if what we're telling you the truth. Other poisoning is for the genetically modified food. You need the book, Genetic Roulette. We have it. Genetic Roulette. You need to get certainly my talk on the Spectre Haunting America. They're both available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Because if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, shame on you. You need that as a foundation to understand the events that are taking place in the world today. So our number 1-800-554-8927.